Let's continue reading verses 13 through 20 of James chapter 5. Now, in this last section of the Epistle of James, we have some encouraging words about prayer. God does answer prayer, even in reference to healing. Let's read verses 13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Once again, some background notes. Prayer is the theme of this last section of the Epistle of James. It is a very encouraging passage of Scripture, but it is also a very controversial passage of Scripture. Why is it controversial? Because of the verses about healing. What exactly do these verses mean? Is this promise of healing good for today? Or was it only good for the early church when the sign gifts were still in operation? Is this promise of healing good for every illness? Or only for sickness associated with God's discipline of the believer? Well, before we go to our doctrinal points, let's say something in general concerning what the Bible teaches about sickness and healing. First of all sickness is the result of sin in a general way. If sin had never entered the world, there would be no sickness. Sickness and death are the result of sin. Now, there are some cases where the sickness is the direct result of some specific sin in the believer's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, we read there that some of the Corinthian Christians were sick because of a specific sin in reference to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Some of them had even died. This is called disciplinary sickness. But don't jump to the conclusion, which some Christians have wrongly done, that every time you see a Christian who's sick, it is disciplinary sickness. No way. There are many biblical examples where individuals are sick and it has nothing to do with some specific sin in their lives. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9. The Lord said that he was born blind not because of his sin, nor his parents' sin, but so that the works of God might be seen in his life. Now, what about healing? Does God heal people today? Of course he does. Usually the means that God uses to heal today is natural. Medical doctors can prescribe medicines and remove obstacles so that the human body, which God has marvelously designed, can do its natural work of healing. Remember, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent ailments. That's the Bible condoning the use of medicines. It's the medicinal use of wine. But God can heal supernaturally as well, then and today. You know, when I was 12 years old, maybe some of you know this, when I was 12 years old, I was healed of polio. The paralysis left overnight. I believe the Lord healed me supernaturally. And no healer was involved. And that brings up the question of whether there are healers and the gift of healing today. There is no doubt that the gift of healing and other sign gifts were present in the early church. No doubt about it. Many Christians believe that these sign gifts still exist today. But there are some good biblical reasons to believe that the sign gifts were primarily for the apostolic period of the early church, to confirm the word of the Lord through the apostles. So in summary for today, healing, yes, but healers and the gift of healing, question mark. In fact, I'd be very careful of so-called healers today. There are what are known as occult healings that take place today. Witch doctors, for example, in pagan cultures have certain healing powers. But what is the source of their power? So be warned and be careful. And a lot more we could say. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for the second half of James chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one, prayers for the sick are answered. Prayers for the sick are answered. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, does this verse mean that if you pray for healing and the sick person is not healed, then you and the sick person didn't have enough faith? Is that what this verse means? No. There are numerous biblical examples where people prayed with great faith and were not healed. It's not God's will to heal in every case. The Apostle Paul, who actually had the gift of healing, said that he left Trophimus sick at Miletus, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul himself was not healed of his thorn in the flesh, even though he prayed in faith earnestly three times that the Lord would remove the thorn in the flesh. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So it's not God's will to heal in every case. In fact, there is a time to die. I believe the sickness referred to here in James chapter 5 is disciplinary sickness. That is sickness because of sin. Look at the context, verse 15. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the example of Elijah's prayers about the rain in verses 17 and 18, these prayers were in reference to God's discipline on Israel at that time for their sins. So I believe disciplinary sickness is primarily in view in James chapter 5. It's like a timeout from the Lord. God puts the sinning believer on a bed of sickness so that he or she will look up. So if God has to discipline some believer with sickness, and that believer then repents, he or she may call the elders of the church and confess his or her sins, and if, note the if, the end of verse 15, and if indeed, this is a case of disciplinary sickness, then these sins will be forgiven, and God will answer the prayer of faith of the elders, and the person will be healed, physically and or spiritually. And oil, as a symbol of healing, or of the Holy Spirit here, is just as valid today as it was in the first century. Furthermore, it's never wrong to call the elders of the church to pray with you if God has laid you on a bed of sickness, whether or not it's disciplinary sickness. God does answer prayer, and that includes prayers for the sick. Doctrinal point number two, prayers of the righteous are effective. Prayers of the righteous are effective. Verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The illustration of Elijah is given here. He was a righteous man who prayed that it would not rain in Israel, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, this time for rain, and it rained. 1 Kings 17 and 18. Read those chapters, and you'll see the account. Now, why were Elijah's prayers answered? Because he was a righteous man and he prayed in faith. That's the point here. When we say he prayed in faith, we mean that his prayers were based on the revealed word of God. God had said that if Israel did not follow his laws, then he would not bless the land with rain and productivity. Read Deuteronomy 28 and 29 as to the blessings and cursings under the law. Elijah prayed on that basis of the revealed word of God until Israel got their act together and got rid of the prophets of Baal, these false prophets. Then, based on the word, he prayed again, and the rain and productivity of the land return. So it was not the amount of faith of Elijah that we have in view here. After all, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. But Elijah, you see, was a righteous man, and he prayed earnestly based on the word of God, and God answered. Prayers of the righteous are effective. We too can see our prayers answered if we live righteously and base our prayers on the revealed word of God. You know, I'm so encouraged when godly people come to me and tell me that they're praying for me and for the ministries that the Lord has given me, because I know the prayers of the righteous are effective. God loves to answer your prayers when they're based on his word and when you're seeking to live a righteous life. Prayers for the spiritual welfare of your family. Prayers for opportunities to witness and serve the Lord. Prayers for the salvation of friends and neighbors and colleagues. I challenge you to pray this week for a specific opportunity to share the gospel with a specific individual that you know. I challenge you to do that. Now watch God work. He loves to answer those kind of prayers. And remember to live righteously. Prayers of the righteous are effective. Practical application. Let's save souls and cover sins. Let's save souls and cover sins. Verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Notice that these verses are specifically addressed to believers. Brethren, verse 19. So the saving of souls here and the covering of sins here does not refer to eternal salvation. Listen, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, there is only one way to have your sins covered and your soul saved in reference to eternal salvation. You must receive Christ as your personal Savior. Only He can cover your sins and save your soul eternally, because He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. The context here, as we see in verses 19 and 20, is not eternal salvation, but it's still the discipline of the wayward believer. If we pray earnestly for fellow believers who have wandered from the truth, and we reach out to them and love them back into the fellowship, we save their souls from disciplinary sickness, which can lead to death. And we cover or veil a lot of ugly sin that would be exposed if they continued on in their sinful ways. Illustration. Remember when Andy gave his testimony last week? He shared how a number of you prayed him back into the fellowship. As a result, your love and prayers covered a multitude of sins. Folks, it's a great ministry. Let's save souls and cover sins.